Over the last number of weeks, one question has been swirling around in my mind over and over again. And quite a number of my friends and family have asked me that same question. What will be my first sermon in Newton Arts? And as I wrestled with this question and prayed over it, I knew that I wanted to preach on something that would strike a key note for the rest of my ministry. In just the same way that a presenter would sound a key note for the singing, so I want this morning to strike a note that would set just the right tone for my ministry. And to that end, I believe Romans chapter 1, verse 16 is a more than appropriate text for us this morning. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. It's my prayer that in this verse, we will, by God's grace, hear a worthy note this morning on which to begin a ministry. In this verse, Paul informs the Christians in Rome of the message that he wants to bring them. And this morning and every Lord's Day that God spares me, I want to bring to you that very same message. We should understand Paul had never been to Rome. He had never visited this church. Not that he didn't want to. He really, really did. But because his wish to visit them had never been fulfilled, he decided to write to them. So instead of explaining his message in person, he explained it by pen. And as a result, the whole of the Christian church has benefited. We can read for ourselves this morning what these Christians in Rome would have heard if Paul had visited them. In a word, his message is all about the gospel. All about the gospel. The whole purpose of Paul's existence was to preach the gospel. His overwhelming message was the good news about the Lord Jesus. So this isn't a letter from a dry old theologian hidden in a dusty library, writing without enthusiasm about something he doesn't really feel. This is a letter from a man who has been through prison, shipwreck, riot, hunger, disease, slander and loss, all because of this message that he preached. And he was desperate to tell the Romans this message, eager to explain to them this gospel. Verse 10, I pray that now at last by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Verse 11, I long to see you. Verse 13, I planned many times to come to you. Verse 15, I am so eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. No sense of reluctance with Paul. He was so eager to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus to these Christians at Rome. And I suspect many of us would have to confess, if we're honest, that we are not quite so eager to tell others of this message. In fact, I would say all of us are extremely slow to speak. We're often so reluctant to say anything, aren't we? And could it be that at times we are even embarrassed to tell others of the gospel? Not Paul. Paul writes in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's a very deliberate understatement from Paul. He means he is very, very proud of the gospel. He lives and he breathes the gospel. Verse 1, he says he's set apart for the gospel. Verse 9, he serves God with his whole heart in preaching this gospel. We want to ask this morning, Paul, why are you so proud of the gospel? Why are you so eager to preach it? What's so special about your message? And in our verse this morning, verse 16, I believe we can see four reasons why Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Four reasons why you and I shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Four reasons why I shouldn't be ashamed to preach the gospel here in Newton Arts. Four reasons why you as a congregation should expect to hear the gospel every single week, just as you have done. Four reasons why we have a message to be proud of. Firstly, because of what the gospel is. Because of what the gospel is. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. There's an abundance of good advice in these days, isn't there? Let me give you some examples of good advice. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Think before you speak. It's good advice. But people in trouble don't need good advice. If you saw someone drowning in a duck pond, struggling for their life, what use would it be to say to them, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening? It's no use at all. People in trouble don't need good advice. If all we had, friends, was good advice to offer the world, we might well be ashamed. If all we had to offer Newton Ards was good advice, we might well feel reluctant or embarrassed. But the gospel isn't advice. It isn't something out of a self-help book. It's the power of God. It might not look very powerful. God sending his son, Jesus, into the world as a baby. Not in a massive, spectacular way, but as a baby, with a virgin as his mother, born in a cow shed, growing up in a backwater town called Nazareth, becoming a carpenter, getting a band of followers, going around for 2 or 3 years when he was 30, teaching, eventually put to death on a cross. Doesn't look very powerful. Yet it is. Paul says elsewhere, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God's power is made perfect in weakness. Make no mistake, friends, the gospel is powerful. Because look, it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. It's God's power. The Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. It's His power that is concentrated in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. I've searched, and as far as I know, nothing else in all of Scripture is described as the power of God. Perhaps you have visited a great waterfall, or you've stood on the edge of a mammoth cliff edge. It seems quite powerful, doesn't it? But friends, the highest waterfall, the deepest ocean, the tallest mountain, none of these is described as the power of God. But here the gospel is described as the power of God. The good news about Jesus Christ has power. And the word used here for power, we get our words dynamite, dynamism, dynamic from it. They all flow from this word. Paul has in mind the fact that the gospel contains the explosive power of God. The all-powerful God is behind it. The gospel works. It changes things. The gospel is God acting in this world. It's a good definition for the gospel. God acting in this world. Through the gospel, amazing things happen. Think of the one writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul. He knew the power of the gospel, didn't he? It changed him from Saul to Paul. That's the power of the gospel. And so, friends, let's not be ashamed of it. It has changed millions, millions of human beings. It has changed nations. It has changed continents. It has changed the course of history. The gospel contains divine power. And it's important for Christians to remember this. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get downhearted about our evangelism. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the task. But we need to remember the gospel is the power of God. It's our chief instrument, our chief tool in doing God's work. There's been quite a bit of work going on in the manse over the last number of days. For that, we're really, really grateful. But actually, it will be strange not to hear the unmistakable noise of a drill pulsating through the house. I think a drill must be every handyman's power tool of choice. Friends, the gospel is the ultimate power tool. It's the ultimate power tool. It's by the gospel that all of God's power is unleashed upon the lives of men and women and boys and girls. Let's be confident in the power of the gospel. That's the first reason Paul isn't ashamed of the gospel. It's powerful. Friends, you should never, nor should I, entertain the thought of being ashamed of this gospel. For it's the power of God. The second reason why we have a message to be proud of is because of what the gospel does. Because of what the gospel does. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. Some things are powerful but destructive. A nuclear weapon is extremely powerful but can devastate entire cities. Dynamite is extremely powerful but can destroy buildings, bridges, landscapes. And for Paul, the fact that the gospel is powerful isn't enough, nor the fact that it's God's power. God's power is powerful enough to condemn, to destroy, to cast into hell. So Paul goes on to tell what this gospel is powerful to do. It's extremely powerful, but in a good way. We needn't fear this power of God. It's the power of God for salvation. And friends, this is altogether glorious. It's for salvation. Isn't that a beautiful word in your Bibles? Salvation. It means rescue. It means healing. It means soundness. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. The gospel saves people. It saves people. It saves people from sin. It saves them from judgment. It saves them from condemnation. It saves them from hell. It saves them from everlasting punishment. It brings joy to people. It brings life. It brings freedom. It brings meaning. It literally is the best news ever. We don't need to be ashamed of it. We don't need to be embarrassed about it. It's good news. Sadly, some Christians give the impression that the gospel is bad news. It's good news, friends. Everything about it is good. It's a message of pardon, a message of the Saviour, a message of a sure and certain way of getting to heaven. And it's an announcement from heaven about something God has done to save men and women and boys and girls for himself. It's for salvation. Believers this morning, don't you know what it's like to have experienced this saving power of the gospel? Has God not forgiven our sins? Has He not made us His children? Has He not put His Spirit within us? Has He not begun to transform us? We've been on the receiving end of gospel power. How could we ever be ashamed of it? This is surely a message we should be proud of. It's powerful for salvation. And as we continue in our Christian lives, we remain plugged in, as it were, to this power. This word salvation, it encompasses all of our Christian lives, from the moment of our conversion all the way to glory. And so the gospel is a power of God for full, total, complete salvation. Every day, the gospel is working in us. It's saving us every day. That saving power is working day after day after day. And it's powerful enough to take us all the way to heaven. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but you're struggling. You're struggling with doubts, with assurance, with anxiety, with fear. Keep coming back to the gospel. It's the gospel that will keep you. It's the gospel that will save you. This gospel will keep you believing. It will keep you trusting. It will keep you persevering. It's powerful for salvation. We're not ashamed because of what the gospel does. Because of what the gospel is, because of what it does. Thirdly, because of who the gospel is for. Because of who the gospel is for. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The message of salvation came from the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew. Paul knew that. He knew that the message went initially to the Jews. They were the first to hear. But then at Pentecost, the message spread out in a new way to the Gentiles. This then is Paul's way of saying the gospel is for the whole world. In Rome, there seems to have been the pleasant problem of an increasingly diverse congregation. Lots of different people. But with that came the problem of unity. Radically different people sitting beside each other. And specifically two groups, Jews and those who weren't Jews. These Gentiles or Greeks. The Jews, they would have had a tremendous Old Testament knowledge, centuries of tradition, strong families, respectable backgrounds. Where the Gentiles, they came from the sewers. They came from the gutters. Radically different people. And Paul's well aware of these issues, it seems. And so very early on in this letter, he drops in this phrase that would have been extremely appropriate for these Romans. The gospel is for the salvation of everyone who believes. Yes, it was first to the Jews, Paul says. But now it's also for the Gentiles. The gospel is the great leveller. The thing he's saying here is, it's not about where you're from. It's whether you believe. It's for all sorts of people. For the Jew, but also for the Gentile. Because everyone needs this gospel. Friends, isn't that brilliant? You have this greatest message ever. A message that is the power of God for salvation. The most needed message in all of the universe. And there's no one who can say, it's not for me. No one can say that. No one can say, my background rules me out, my race rules me out, my social standing rules me out. It's for all sorts. Doesn't matter what age you are, talented or untalented, rich or poor, male or female, married or single, doesn't matter. It's for everyone. The gospel is exactly what the strangers down the street need to hear. What a reason for pride in our message. You and I, we can take it to every single human being, no matter who they are, and we can tell them, this will satisfy you. Keep on believing in this, and it will take you all the way to heaven. This will never let you down. It's a marvelous message. Who's it for? It's for everyone. We're not ashamed because of what the gospel is, because of what it does, because of who it's for, and fourthly, because of how the gospel is received. Because of how the gospel is received. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe. How wonderful. The gospel isn't difficult to receive. No exams to pass, no money to pay, no distance to travel. Simply this. Believe. It means we acknowledge we are lost, guilty and helpless. It means we turn from all selfish living. It means we are to see in Jesus, the one whom God sent to pay for our sin in Calvary. And we have to understand that he's offering himself to us as our Saviour. We have to call on him, ask him to save us. We have to entrust ourselves to him for life and for eternity. And that is all. And that is what many people are unwilling to do. But that is all. It's open to the greatest sinner we could imagine. It's open to the person with the smallest faith. It's open to people with lots of Bible knowledge, people with very little Bible knowledge. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of a message like this. I'm proud of it, he says. Friends, so should we be. For those of us here Christians, don't you feel embarrassment and shame that I feel for the times that I have been ashamed in some way of the gospel? When we should have said something, but we didn't. Imagine that. Imagine being ashamed of Jesus. Imagine being ashamed of the most wonderful message there has ever been. A message that would bring infinite good to those who would receive it. Infinite good. We should be excited about our message. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should commend it. And let us pray that as the gospel is proclaimed and explained and commended here week after week, that all the power of God would break into our lives, your life and mine, that our lives would never be the same as they were before. Because when the gospel breaks in, everything's different. And as we turn the page to a new chapter in the life and history of this congregation, it's the gospel in which we find our strength. It's the gospel that should be our message. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. We have a message to be proud of. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen.